Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today I have one of my favorite people joining me, Jared Hamilton. Jared is on Instagram as @RealJaredHamilton. So go follow him if you're not already. He is putting out some great content, and he is super funny, one of the funniest people I know. So you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to laugh a lot. Today, Jared and I talk a lot about what he calls his 6 fat loss deal breakers. And this took our conversation into many different directions. I think you're going to love this. These deal breakers, I couldn't agree with him more, and took us into a bunch of interesting tangents. I think you're really going to love this. So go grab your coffee, put up your feet, and let's get to it. Have a great day. Greetings.
Hello, my friend.
How are you, Jared?
I'm great, Susan. How are you?
Awesome. This is so awesome to talk to you.
I know. I feel like we already know each other and are already friends, but we haven't actually spoken like this. It's great.
I know. It's incredible. You know what's so funny now that you say that? We run in kind of the same circles, and it's so funny. Most of us haven't met in person, but yeah, we feel like, yeah, we are friends. And I know when I have met some people in person, it's so normal. It's bizarre.
I love it. It's my favorite thing about social media. It's amazing.
It's been an amazing experience with social media. And, we hear so many awful things about social media, but there's so much good. Mm-hmm. And it's bringing me to you. I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it. So for everybody out there, let's take a second and kind of introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about you and kind of your background and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Jared Hamilton. I'm a fitness coach from Indiana. So born and raised over here in a bunch of cornfields, essentially.
Yeah.
I kind of fell into the fitness coaching thing by accident. What happened was I was originally going to be go to school to be a physical therapist originally, because a lot of people don't know this side of my story, because what happened was when I was in school, had no idea what I wanted to do, had no idea of a career path, been kind of entrepreneurial. I started my first business when I was 14, just doing stuff. But I've always hated for working for people. So just always doing my own thing, I was just gravitated to. But when college rolled around and I'm like, well, I got to pick something, kinesiology was a fascination of mine. So, because mm-hmm. When I was younger, I grew up doing a lot of martial arts. So getting really familiar with how the body works, how to kick harder, how to break things and all of that, biomechanics became fascinating to me. It's wait, the elbow doesn't bend this way and you can break it. Or, hey, I can kick harder if I move my hips, stuff like that. It was fascinating to me. So early on, that's how that kind of started. And that was where I honestly got my first job teaching. That's when I found out I loved teaching and coaching people. Way early on, I did martial arts for 3 or 4 years, got a couple black belts. And then the school that I trained at, they hired me. They said, hey, how do you feel about being an assistant instructor and help lead classes and do one-on-ones? And I'm yeah, it was awesome. So when I was 16, 17, 18, I was getting really familiar with coaching, teaching big classes and doing private lessons and learning the art of communicating. And it was technically fitness related, but it was hey, here's how to break boards and shit. But
yeah,
but that's where it originally started for me, looking back to it. Now, then when I went to college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I just know about stuff related to human anatomy and the body was a fascination of mine, and you can make okay money. So I'm okay, I'll go to school to be a physical therapist. Well, then I found out you've got to get a doctorate, and I really didn't feel like going $200,000 in debt.
Really?
Yeah, that's the new, as far as I know, it's the, you can't just get a master's, it is, you have to go all the way.
A
doctorate degree. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so ended up not feeling that very much, but went ahead and completed was getting my degree in kinesiology, but then I stumbled on a class that was basically a personal trainer prep class. Mm-hmm. It essentially taught you how to be a coach, and it went through NASM's NASM's curriculum.
Yeah.
And it had like practicals and all that nonsense and stuff. And then I found out like, oh, I really like doing this. Cause I've always had a passion for helping people. I knew that's what I loved, centering everything around and like my income and my business around solving problems and helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out I could do that. And I'm like, wait, I love teaching. I love people. I love working with people and helping people, and I can make money doing this. Dope. Let's do it.
You must be my brother from a different mother, because that is like my background, education, counselor, passion of fitness. Yeah. It all comes together.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, after that, like I found out after that semester at school, they would let you, like, because you went through the course, they let you take your trainer exam. So I'm like, why not? Like, just because I was still in school. And then I figured, wait, I can train people on my own schedule, make my own hours, and make okay money while I'm in school. So let's start the side hustle thing. And that's mm-hmm. kind of how it started, just more as a convenience, me make my own hours kind of job while I was in school. Well, one thing led to another. And then I found, like, really feel like that's why I've been put on this earth, is to coach and work with people. Mm-hmm. And then I was working for like 3 gyms at once, bouncing all over the place. And then I started building on the side, while I was working for commercial gyms, like YMCAs and like university gyms and stuff, mm-hmm. I started building my independent stuff. And then it got to the point where like I had to make a decision, and I ended up resigning at all the commercial gyms. And I pursued my own independent personal training, where I didn't like necessarily work for like one gym. I was basically independent contracted. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where like I have a full schedule. Like I was packed. Like I was getting to the gym on days at 4:30 in the morning, but then leaving at like 8 or 9 at night. And then I like didn't see my family. And then it was mm-hmm. just crazy. And that's when I found online coaching. Mm. And that's when I found like my buddy and mentor now, Jordan, who we mm-hmm. both know very well, who's become mm-hmm. like a brother to me. And that's when I got into the online coaching space. And then I've been doing that for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, I tell everybody this, I absolutely adore you for a lot of reasons, but one of the big reasons I absolutely adore you is because your sense of humor is like no one else. I mean, I just love your content, and you're educating and make people laugh at the same time. I mean, at least that's how I see it all. And yeah, I just love what you're doing. Absolutely love what you're doing. It's a breath of fresh air, because you know it can get kind of stale and whatever. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to laugh through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And you have just like burst too, by the way. a noticeable change in the last, I don't know, however many months, 6 months, I don't know, whatever. I don't even want to put a time on it, but I just noticed, I just like seeing your face too. And you have your photographer or your videographer guy, photographer following you around everywhere. It's fantastic stuff. And I've referred so many people over to you because I think you preach what I preach. I mean, we're coming mm-hmm. kind of from that same family tree of online coaches, I think we can safely say, you know.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of principled the same way. But I love your message too. I mean, you are no bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I can't stand it.
Yeah. Oh, right. I can't stand it either. I think there's so much of that. And I think there's so much crap that, I don't know, I get people, you know, trying to call me out on, you know, that the whole keto crowd. I was just actually listening to one of your podcasts you were doing, which I actually want to touch upon. And just keto came to mind because you mentioned it in this.
I fat poke loss keto a lot. I that's like the one I target, just because it's the shiny right now. It's the new shiny. So
it is. Like, it is. It's the bright shiny penny right now. But the fat loss deal breakers. Mm-hmm. You posted, and you also I just did a podcast, I think, on that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about those, because I was listening to your podcast on this not too long ago, and I'm just nodding my head. Yes, yes, yes. And you go after all this bullshit that's always out there. So let's talk about those fat loss deal breakers.
Yeah,
number one,
absolutely.
Number one, super low calorie diets.
Yuck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, like that's the thing is, When I came up with that content, so this is actually how, like, I get people that ask me, like, what's my process to creating content? And it's really whatever problems I'm hearing. Or I'll be, like, in the shower. Like, that's where all my ideas come to me. Is, like, while I'm in the shower on, like, a walk or while I'm meditating in that theta brainwave state. And, like, and then I get all these ideas. And I'm like, ah, where's my phone? I got to write that down.
Right. Yeah.
But the reason I came up with deal breakers is because in different areas of our lives, we have complete deal breakers. If you get into a relationship and they're, like, a serial killer, like, that's a pretty big deal breaker. Like,
that's kind of a deal breaker, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, I don't know, let's say, you know, I'm kind of drawing a blank. Like, just any, we all have in different areas of our lives, those are deal breakers. Like, if, you know, people who have kids, it's like, all right, if your kid, like, talks back, you're not going to, like, disown your kid. But if your kid, like, turns into a serial killer, you're probably going to let your kid go to jail over that. Like,
I think you had mentioned also, you know, if your dog bites your two-year-old or something, I think you gave that as an example.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a deal breaker. Yeah.
Yeah. So deal breakers are big deals. And that's why I see a lot of people following these bullshit diets, trying to get the get-rich-quick scheme of fat loss, but they're all deal breakers. And that's why the first one is super low-calorie diets. I can't tell you how many people, men and women, mostly women, everyone thinks the magic number is 1,200 calories.
Amen.
And that's the thing, though, is a lot of times, like, there are people that, like, that's their number, but most of those people are, like, 5'2", 105-pound females, which is not the majority of people, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why I just hate people going super low-calorie diets, because most people haven't even got a baseline of where they've been at. That's why before, even with my online coaching clients or just someone asking for advice, before I'll ever give nutrition advice, I make someone track for a full 7 days just to get a baseline. Because if that person was eating 5,000 calories a day like an asshole, I'm not going to go from 5,000 to fucking 1,200. I'm going to go from 5,000 to 4,500.
100%.
You know, so that's by far the first deal breaker is uber low calorie diets.
Yeah, and it's so funny you bring up the 1,200 calorie. I think in the last 48 hours, I have talked to, I don't know, I don't even know how many people, and 1,200 seemed to be the number with each one of them. And I just wanted to pound my head against a brick wall at some point, because there's never a rhyme or reason to it. And as a matter of fact, I'm creating a post for later today about this, because I went and made a short little video clip, because I was so irate by the end of the sixth person in a row that had said 1,200 calories. And I'm irate because I'm so frustrated for them, because of course they're not being successful. And then there are those that are saying that they're eating 1,200 calories, but they're not losing weight. And I'm like, please stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
Yep. Well, and here's the thing. Most people who tell me that, like, I've had plenty of people say, hey, dude, I'm eating 1,200 calories a day and I can't lose weight. But because of that deprivation, they have 10,000 calorie weekends.
Yeah, it's exactly.
But, like, Monday through Friday, they're like 1,200 calories.
Yeah.
But usually this is the one that stops everybody. This is the one question. When someone's really, like, getting upset and not moving forward, the one question that usually stops everybody, maybe it's just the people I talk to, but is I ask them, what is the longest you have tracked your calories for without missing days, without having binge days, without blowing numbers out of the water? I said, how many months or weeks have you done that? And then you look at me with their eyes wide open.
Yeah. Oh,
I bet. Most people haven't even counted for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely correct. That is the thing. It's kind of like you catch them all the time with that. 100%.
Yeah. How many months have you been consistent?
Yeah, how many months? None.
Yep.
The next one was a favorite of mine, diets with a name.
Oh, I can't fucking stand that.
I totally agree. That's brilliant. Yep. I mean, although I told somebody not, and this was very recently, I said, the diet that I do, because I get asked that all the time, what diet do you do? My diet is the I eat in a calorie deficit, include whatever foods I want along the way diet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But
I was just giving a talk about this the other day. I had a city one city away from me. I had an insurance company bring me in to do like a talk, like for like 25 insurance agents about fat loss and stuff. And that's what I said. I was like, what not to do. And it was kind of this fat loss deal breakers list. But this was one of the first things I said. I said, the big no-no is diets with names. And they all looked at me with their eyes wide open. I'm like, who knows somebody doing keto? Who knows someone doing paleo or whatever? But that's the thing, is the one name that I will give a diet that works is that person's name. Like, I do the Jared diet, what mm-hmm. works for me. You do the Susan diet,
yeah.
what works for you. You know, Bob does the Bob diet. Because, mm-hmm. like, I'll have someone say, well, I do keto diet, the keto diet. And they're eating, like, a plate of fries. And I'm like, and I think kind of funny. And they're like, well, I do a keto diet, but then I have fries when I want in moderation.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so that's perfect. You took principles from a ketogenic diet and applied them to your life, but that's not a keto diet.
So no.
Like, quit marrying a system and getting a neck tattoo of it. That's not right.
Yeah. No, that's 100% accurate. And what's okay with that is that you took the principles of that diet that did work for you, and you added other things that work for you. And now what you have done is created the John diet or the, you know, Karen diet or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. That's what it's all about. It's not being dogmatic mm-hmm. with I can't eat this. I can't eat this. I have to eat few calories and all. Yeah. All that. Absolutely mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. for sure.
Yep.
Off limit foods. Biggie.
Yeah. Like, it blows me away how many people think that one food of anything inherently causes bad shit to happen.
Yeah.
It blows me away. And my favorite example to use is either potassium or bee stings. Like, yeah. when people are like, well, donuts make you fat. And I'm like, no, it's the dose. I have a whole other podcast I talked about. It's called The Dose is What Makes Poison Lethal. Potassium is what they use to administer the death sentence. Like, they OD you on potassium yeah. and it kills you, right?
Right.
But there are so many people sitting in a hospital right now getting injected with the same potassium, but it gets them better. And the only difference is the dosage and the speed. It's like,
yeah.
my little brother one time got stung. My little brother, before he was a firefighter, did lawn care. And he all got stung by like a bee or something. And that's not that bad. It hurts a little bit, but it's not that big of a deal, you know? But my little brother was, when he was in lawn care, mm-hmm. he got stung by like 300 yellow jackets at once, and he about had to go to the hospital.
Ooh.
And the only difference is the dosage. That's, and it's the context of which it's happening. It's not that a bee sting's bad. It's just the context is where it goes south. The same thing with food.
Yeah. You know, and that's such a great analogy, because that's exactly what it is. It's just quantity. You know, a donut, is that going to make or break anything? Absolutely not. You know, if you eat dozens of donuts for days on end, well, yeah, mm-hmm. that's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's perspective. And I think so much of that, especially with my generation, we were always brought up with good versus bad foods. I mean, that's just all I remember growing up thinking, oh, you know, you shouldn't yeah. be eating that, you know, it that's a bad thing. And I think hopefully that now your generation and future generations will just change mm-hmm. all that, so that, you know, as we're all trying yeah. to change that, but it is something that is ingrained. And I know for me personally, it was ingrained. I, till maybe not even 5 years ago, was not able to really enjoy foods that I wanted yeah. to enjoy. It takes time, but I know you'll agree with me on this. Once you can let go of that good versus bad, and you can kind of start yeah, living your life, you know,
freeing.
And, it's incredibly freeing. And that just like this next thing is this whole cheating mm-hmm. thing. Like, I hate that. That's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. It's just a cheat day, a cheat meal, a cheat weekend,
the,
you know,
the category.
There's nothing good with that like, word.
What's funny is, this yeah. is one of my more vulgar examples that people either love or get offended by. It's great. I love it. I basically say, like, you don't have a cheat day with your relationship where you go out and fuck the mailman. So, like, why are you having one in your diet? You know, it's not a matter of, right. like, it's just, it goes back to labeling foods as inherently good, inherently bad. You have your, you know, your fat storing food, your fat burning food, your Monday through Friday food, your weekend food, versus, like, there's so much power in just not eating like a complete asshole. It's unreal. And when I'm talking to somebody about this, like, I don't want to just like cram this information down someone's throat. I'll like get feedback from them. Like, I'll ask, like, okay, is it okay for me to eat a whole pizza? And then it's like, okay, well, probably not. Like, I probably should not eat an entire pizza. That's kind of like eating like an asshole. I said, what about half a pizza? I'm like, well, that's kind of bad. I mean, it's better, but it's not like the best decision, but like two pieces. And if that person's like, yeah, you shouldn't eat two pieces. I'm like, okay, what about two bites? Or at what point does good become bad? And it's all contextual.
Yeah.
Because this is what made that insurance group the other day that I was talking to, when I was talking about this subject, they all kind of busted laughing. I said, guys, listen, if healthy food or what you were calling healthy food was the key to fat loss, there would be no fat vegans. And I said, I've trained plenty of fat vegans. And nothing disrespectful to that lifestyle if that's what someone chooses to do, but too many people don't change the habit of overeating. They just change the food groups. Whereas they're like, oh, I've been eating, I've gained weight, I'm going to eat better, or I'm going to lose weight. And they just switch groups because of the good food, bad food conversation. And all of a sudden they take the bad habit of overeating as a whole and they overeat keto food. Then they're like, oh, well, guess keto's not for me. Then they overeat paleo food. Then they're like, oh, paleo's not for me. Then they're like, ooh, intermittent fasting, super scientific. Then in their fasting window, they find this cool thing called Taco Bell and they eat 5,000 calories in a fasting window because no one ever changes the pattern of overeating. It's just a behavioral change thing.
It totally is. And that was my story to a T. You know, just overeating, a healthy overeater is what I termed it. You know, healthy food has calories too.
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hate the word cheat as much as anything else because it just, it never works. And I always get asked this by so many people like, well, how do I don't know how to, you know, get over that and change that. And you know, I just tell you, like anything else, it takes practice. It's not going to be a switch that flips one day this way to one day, then, you know, the other way. It takes practice. And there'll be times where you screw that up, but it's okay. You just keep going. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. Just like with anything. Guilt. The this next one gets, that's a,
this one
that's
gets
a biggie.
Under my skin, probably more than anything. There should never be any of those terrible, like those bad emotions, guilt, anxiety, stress, overwhelmed, though, especially guilt associated with dieting. And I even take it to an extreme. I say, let's pretend, let's act like you fell off the bandwagon, the health bandwagon, fat loss bandwagon for like 8 months and gained like 30 pounds. Let's just say worst case scenario. Even at that kind of thing that happened, there should be no guilt involved. It goes, oh, wow. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. It's not like you're guilty. It's like, oh, wait, I fell off the wagon and I'm choosing to make the correct steps to get back in the place I want to be. But there's no reason for guilt. But so many people have all these bad emotions with food. Like donuts make me feel guilty, but chicken makes me feel happy. Like the fact that there is emotions associated with certain foods is horrendous. Like I cannot stand it.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. And I think that is, I just was contacted by people today. Same thing. I can't get over feeling guilty for having, you know, a donut or two donuts or something like that. And it's, gosh, it is, again, it goes back to, it's a mindset shift, but it is something that's going to take time and practice consistently, just like fat loss, muscle gain, any of that stuff. You know, it all comes back to some consistent practice and feeling uncomfortable. You'll be out of your comfort zone with a lot of this. Mm-hmm. God knows I was, you know, it took me a long time before I felt comfortable eating. So I use a donut as an example, but whatever it is. But once you, if you keep doing it, you find that every time it's less and less and less. And pretty soon, like the other one, you know, you're free from all that bullshit.
And that's the thing is people, and that leads to so many other problems. Like people ask me all the time, like how to handle cravings, how to deal with binge eating and emotional eating. But if you fix your relationship with foods, so many issues get resolved. I had, it was probably one of my favorite compliments I've ever had. I had a psychiatrist reach out to me and said she recommends my page to people with eating disorders. The thing is, like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm trying to say is the fact that, like, so much bullshit comes from bad relationships with food, it should be a top priority. You know, I don't know how, like, your approach to fixing that is, like, bad relationship with food, but one of my favorite ways for anyone listening that has those bad relationships with food is I'm a huge fan of finding whatever that hot button food is, and this also depends on how bad their current situation is. Like, so my hot button is donuts. We all know that. I'm getting ready to start a challenge called the Daily Donut. Like, it's donuts are a big thing for me. But I know, like, for me, even as a fitness coach, a dozen donuts on my counter is not a good idea. By far is not a good idea. Because I will, like, somehow make a dozen donuts fit in my daily calories and not eat anything else, like, being completely honest. But so what I do is if I know I struggle with that, I don't have that as a temptation, but I will replace that dozen donuts with one donut. And then I will make that, mm-hmm. that food that I struggle with in my daily routine. I can't tell you how many clients that I've worked with that part of their program is a Snickers bar. I'm like, every day I want you to have a Snickers bar. Yeah. Every night before you go to bed, I want two Oreos in your mouth. Like, whatever their trigger food is or their hot button is, because, yeah, like, there may be periods of time where we have to remove it, like, eat the bags of chips off the top of the fridge or the box of donuts or the box of cookies. But as soon as we can,
right,
I want to move that back into their lives where they have control over it, not just flush it under the rug. Because the beautiful thing about society is, or the food industry is, they make hella money off single servings. So there are almost every food, uh-huh. there is a single serving option. Like, I can't tell you, I probably say four times a week, I go over to the store in the donut cabinet and get one or two donuts for that day. Because mm-hmm. I don't want my life to exist without donuts. And there's no reason it should. And I'm in my own fat loss phase right now. I'm down like fucking like 10 or 12 pounds and I have donuts probably five times a week. You know, it's one of those things.
And I love that. And I agree with you 100%. I do a lot of the same thing. And like you said, sometimes at the beginning, that's not where you can start, but it's certainly where you want to go. And be able to include, because I with cravings, with binging, whatever, I think you hit it square on, because the more you deprive yourself, the more you not allow yourself to have it, you're thinking this is bad, I can't, or and all those negatives, it's just going to keep perpetuating itself. It's never going to get
people
better.
Wait till a craving's like, let's say we talk a scale of 1 to 10, because I get, that's one of my most common questions I get, is how I handle cravings. And when people are like, I'll say, oh, have it in moderation, don't eat like an asshole, the normal stuff. But usually the first thing someone says is, oh, Jared, I can't do it. I can't eat one cookie and not eat the whole pack. But 9 times out of 10, their history has been they deprived themselves for a week and a half without cookies. And now it's at a sexual level in their head. They want that cookie because we have the foods on pedestals. But my thing is, if on a scale of 1 to 10, you don't just go from a level 0 craving food, like don't care. But like right now, I'm not craving an Oreo by any means. But there's been days I want an Oreo. But you don't go straight from a 0 to a 10. Your cravings start off at a 1. Oh, Oreo sounds good. And let's say you don't get one. By the end of the day, you're like, man, I could smash some Oreos right about now. But on a scale of 1 to 10, when your Oreo's a 2, you kill it at a 2. You don't wait till your craving gets to a 10 and then you want to binge like a piece of shit. You kill the craving when it's small. Like, if you want, like, I know a lot of people, another popular question I get is like, when a woman's on their menstrual cycle and they're craving chocolate, go get fucking chocolate, like right now. If you know you're going to get it, and a single Hershey bar will fix it, don't wait till you're like, you know, about to eat 3 bags of Hershey bars. Kill it when it's kill a 2 with a 2 action. You know, don't wait till it's a 10 and then kill it with a 10 action, you know.
100%, and I think people also will find that sometimes that may, you know, it may not be as successful one time. Okay, so what?
Absolutely.
You know, you have another shot at this. It's not like, okay, well, that didn't work. Okay, I'm done. I no longer can have that food. I just don't believe in that either, and I really think I hate the word moderation because it's just, I think, a buzzword right now, but. But that's by definition, yes, I think that's exactly what we're talking about, is just to be able to include all foods that you love. Nothing is bad. Nothing is good. It's just fucking food. It is food. Let's just get over that and just figure out how to, enjoy it. And all of that just kind of brings us around to how that part of, the dieting education is so important, learning how to incorporate foods into your calories. If you're, you know, whatever your calorie allotment is, you know what? It does take a little bit of work and maneuvering to figure out how it's all going to work. But you get really good at that the more you practice that.
Yeah. Well, and right there, I'm going to interrupt you really quickly. That's what you just said it perfectly. You said practice it. So many people, I find that you're frustrated with dieting and calorie counting. They're pissed off because they didn't come out of the womb an expert in counting calories. Like people don't understand. I think I have a whole other episode on this, like talking about how calorie counting is a skill. You don't just become gifted at counting calories. You know, it's just like learning to manage money, learning to drive a car, learning to, you know, whatever. I like when I was even giving that talk the other day about how this is all is a skill. I said, because it was at an insurance agency, and I was like, you all used to suck at your job right now. And they all got like real weird looking. And I'm like, no, every one of you came in here and you sucked at your job compared to where you're at right now. But because of this thing called practice and skill and consistency, now you become good at it. Everything that we found awkward and hard, like things like driving, things like relationships, fuck, things like sex, that we do on a daily basis was at once awkward and hard and difficult, and now is like second nature.
Yeah. I feel like, and I get teased about this all the time, I am one of the few people on the planet that does not use an app to track anything. And I am not a tracker. I refused to track for years and years because I thought it was going to be cumbersome. It was going to be hard, tedious. It was going to take the fun out of eating, all of those things, none of which were true. And God knows if this old person over here can track using a freaking spreadsheet or sometimes literally a piece of paper and a pencil and have some success with it. Good God. Yeah. Come on, people.
Well, here's a funny thing.
You know,
when someone tells me I understand there's some people out there who, and I have clients like this and tribe members that mentally they're not in a place where they can count calories yet. And I get that. And it's a matter of then putting principles in place to work with that. Then eventually get to the point where they can count and track. But most people tell me they don't have time to count and track, but they spend half their day on Facebook and Instagram.
Amen.
You know, and one of the fun principles that I put in play for my clients who tell me they don't have time, I say, count it, track it, then eat it. You can't eat it until it's tracked. And then all of a sudden, the problem solved, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll find time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I was going to ask you this, and I'd be curious on what your answer is. My guess is our answer will be very similar. What do you think is the biggest mistake people make when they're trying to lose fat? I mean, there are a bunch of mistakes I see people making all the time, but I'm just wondering if there's one thing that pops over to you frequently more than others. I would agree. 100%.
I think people forget how slow of a process this can truly be. And I think people get so in a hurry that they are willing to do things that's not adherable. So two of the biggest principles that I preach to the people I work with that I don't think hardly you, I know you talk about this and a handful of others that like in our circle, but the vast majority of there's two factors that no one takes into consideration. Like I said, other than like you and Jordan and a few like Chad, but otherwise the vast majority of people I don't see talk about these two magic things, adherence and happiness. Those two, if everything that you do, especially for those that's listening to this, if everything you do is not predicated under the umbrella and foundation of happiness and adherence, you will fail. Ultimately, you may lose 40, 50, 60 pounds, but when you decide you're not going to do this anymore because you fucking hate your life, you're going to backtrack. You're going to find ways to self-sabotage back to day one, because if it's not maintainable, you know, if all of a sudden someone does low carb or no carbs, low calorie diets and cardio 3 times a day, they're going to find out real quick they can't keep that going for the next 5 to 10 years. Then they're going to go back to day one. Or I see way too many people that are in a negative place. They're not happy. They're in a negative place expecting a positive result. But science doesn't let that happen. You can't be in two polarities. You can't be at two polarities like that. You can't be in the negative place and get a positive result. That never happens. Like too many people are like, I hate myself and I hate the way I look, so I'm going to lose fat, versus the mindset of, no, I need to get in shape because I love myself and I deserve better. And I hold myself to a higher standard of excellence. That's why I'm going to lose weight. There's a massive difference.
Oh, Matt, that's so well said. And that is a massive, massive difference, because the people in the first group are the ones that go into the 1,000 and 1,200 calorie. Okay, I've had enough of this shit. I'm going to do it. You know, this 1,000 calorie diet. And ultimately, they're not successful. And then they just perpetuate that. They're in that hamster wheel. They can't get out of it. You know,
I can't tell 100%. You how many people I've talked to that are telling me, like, that are coming asking for help. I'm like, just like they do to you. And I'm sure like when you're talking to someone, before you give too much detail, you try to get a little bit of background on like what they've been doing and what their stuff looks like. I can't tell you how many people they're like, all right, man, I'm doing keto, but I can't lose weight. And I'm like, do you enjoy carbs? They're like, yeah, I love them, but they're doing keto. Or I had a lady sit down with me one time in person and she's like, hey, I'm intermittent fasting, but I love snacking. I'm like, wait, you said you like snacking and grazing throughout the day, but you're intermittent fasting. You're doing the total opposite. And she's like, yeah. You see, that's the problem. People are doing all these diets and systems that don't match their lifestyle because of success around them. But that's the problem with every diet, mm-hmm. is there's a shredded person associated with it. So they think it's going to work for them. But one of the best examples, Susan, this is literally like my favorite example and analogy, and I unfortunately cannot take credit for it. One of the guys I look up to most, his name's Joe Bennett. He's known as the hypertrophy coach. And he gave this example, and it was so profound in this diet world. And I think everyone listening should write this down, especially if someone is so quick to be like, wait, what, you're doing keto? Maybe I should do keto. Well, you're doing fasting and lost weight? Maybe I should fast. You're doing paleo? I should do paleo. That's literally the equivalent of walking into a hospital, going room to room and being like, hey, bro, what treatment are you getting? Oh, you got a cast? Maybe I should get a cast. Let me go check the next room. Hey, dude, what treatment are you getting? Chemo. Well, I don't have cancer, but man, maybe I should get chemo because you got chemo. You go to the next one. Oh, you're taking blood pressure medicine and have an IV in you? Maybe I should do that. It's like the same freaking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So much. Absolutely. And that leads me to something that came across. It comes across almost every day. The people that tell me, well, you know, I'm going back on keto because that works for me. Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. You're going back to a diet that you say works for you, yet you have to keep going back to it. Yeah. Think about that. You know, no, it doesn't work for you.
Another one of my favorite.
Because if it did, it's crazy. You wouldn't go back.
And it's one of my favorite questions to ask people, especially you ever get somebody that's like asking your opinion, then they want to just tell you what they're doing and just to hear themselves talk. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Is my favorite thing is like, okay, how's that going for you? I'm like, hey, I know you're doing keto, but like, you should, like, it sounds like a calorie problem, not a carb problem. Oh no, Jared, it's definitely a carb problem. I'm like, okay, how's that going for you? Are you still having trouble? Yeah. Well, here's your fucking sign, bro.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Oh yeah, it's frustrating from our end because we know what will work in the long haul for people, and it's just. People are stuck in this short-term mm-hmm. mindset, and I think that's kind of what drives it all. You know, whether it's paleo, keto, it's an insert name here. It doesn't matter. It's thinking of a temporary. I'm going to do this for a little while, and then all my problems will be solved.
Without a doubt.
And it's never that way. No, it's never that way. You may lose weight, but whatever problems you're trying to solve by losing weight don't get solved. Number one. At all. And then number two, you won't be able to sustain whatever that is. And then, you know, I always like to ask people, can you eat this way for the rest of your life? And of course, everyone says no. Okay.
Yeah.
Then what are we doing this for? You know,
a problem with that I see a lot is people are willing, this is the excuse out here. Like, well, Jared, I want to get motivated and fired up. So that's why I'm going to drop my carbs, or that's why I'm going to do keto for like the first month or two, just to get lose some weight, kick out the gate, and get motivated. But I say, okay, how motivated?
A jump start.
I fucking hate it. I say, and I'll ask him. I'll ask him, how motivating is it when you hit a plateau like a fucking brick wall and you go back to where you started? How motivating is that? And they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, maybe we should have a little bit more of a long game thinking. Because here's the other thing. This is another one of my analogies I love. I swear I'm like the king of analogies. It's like a hobby. And this is an example I'll give people a lot. I say, listen, if I came to you, we've all been pitched this before, seen it online. I said, if I came to you and I said, hey, dude, I found a revolutionary business system that you can work like 20 minutes a day and make 100 grand in the next 6 months. Just partner with me, buy my system, and I'll show you how to make $100,000, 15 minutes a day in the next 6 months. Would you buy? Would you hop on board immediately? And most people say, fuck no. That's such a get rich quick, whatever. We know those don't work. Right. But people are okay with that for fat loss. Hey, listen, I'm going to show you this revolutionary thing or this pill you can take that you can like eat whatever you want and calories aren't a thing anymore because our bodies are too complex for calories and you can eat whatever you want. And in the next 5 months, you'll look like Arnold or you'll lose 20 pounds in the next 30 days. But people are like, oh, take my money now. But it's a scheme of fat loss and it's a problem. Like it's such a big deal.
It is, and I fell victim to all of that, you know, and so I totally relate to people from the perspective of I get it, because I thought the same way too. And every so often, some of those old demons will pop in the back of my head, and the difference now is that I know what they are, and I know how to control all that, and it's all in a good place. But it goes back to what we've been saying. It's just a practice and being consistent with something and thinking, guys, get rid of the expectations of timelines and the 30 day this or the 60 day that or the 90 day whatever, blah blah blah. Forget all of that stuff and just take it for the long haul. Like, it ends when you're in the grave.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of the end of it. And enjoy from this day to the last day. And it's that kind of simple.
Without a doubt. Well, and that's the thing is, unfortunately, a lot of coaches, except for like our circle, don't preach that, because there are a lot of people, what you and I are talking about, will never sign up with us ever because of that. Yeah. But that's part of the game too, is from a coaching standpoint, being ethical and honest, you know, and not setting a false sense of expectation that can't be upheld. You know, I've had people shoot me DMs and they're like, bro, can I buy your coaching package? Does it get me like eight? You will get me an 8-pack in the next 2 weeks. And I say, no, not a good fit. I literally like turn that away.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Unfortunately, this is not what people like to hear, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm. It's 100% the truth. And I've turned a lot of people away for that same result. You know, and I like to preach, you know, my whole message is it's just not too late for anybody. I mean, I'm pushing 59 years old and I've totally changed everything in
you
the
are
last
not
probably
59.
4 years or
you
so.
You are
give or
not
take.
59.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
You are
next month,
not 59.
Next month.
That's.
You I'm are, hitting
you
it,
look
man.
Amazing.
It's, old as shit is what it is. When I was your age, I thought my age was like gone.
I'm just saying, like, first of all, I know like people in their prime that don't look like you or as strong as you. Like, shoot, most of the dudes I train can't even do the pull ups you do. Like, damn.
No. Well, I, you know, it's so funny because I, you know, people, I get this all the time. Oh, you must have great genetics. And yeah, if you consider heart disease a great genetic, yeah, I've hit the jackpot. You know, I have obesity and heart disease like crazy in my family. So yeah, this is not something that I take lightly or something that, you know, I think I can just coast through. I have to work my ass off, but it's possible. And I know you preach the same thing. I mean, anybody can do this. You just have to set your mind to do it. That's kind of what it is.
The light has
you
to
know?
Switch 100%.
It just does. And then you have to be ready to fail at it, because I certainly did along the way. And pick yourself up and keep going and learn from it and keep going, because that's how we all
and here's
got
the thing,
better.
On that subject, Colin, my videographer, I think just sent me the video today. Even us coaches, literally, quote unquote, the gurus, the go-to person, the one who has it all figured out. You know, people look at coaches like we're God or something. It's stupid. But the thing is, even like me, for example, talking about embracing failure and learning to own up to it and expect it, I fell off the wagon completely. Even as a coach, I'm teaching fat loss, but I like over the past, like, shoot, past year or so, I gained fat. I got weak. I wasn't taking things seriously. And I did it all in the name of excuse of I'm building my fitness business. I'm creating content. I'm too busy. And I literally got lazy as fuck and I gained weight and I got weak. And actually my video comment that I'm dropping is like basically admitting all that and what I'm doing to fix it. And that's where the Daily Donut comes in. I'm kind of documenting it in that fashion. But what I'm trying to say is, even like us coaches, this happens. We all like have times where just life gets crazy and we fuck up and fall off the wagon. And, you know, that kind of thing happens. But even the best of the best has to embrace failure and own up to their shit, you know, just like normal people.
100%. We all do. And I think that was, for me, a tough pill to swallow at the beginning. Just like, it was the whole perfectionist part of me. But once that kind of, I got over that hump, failure, man, it's like, bring it, because it'll just make me better in the long
Every
run.
Day of the week, 100%.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about your daily donut
so
journey.
To give like a like what's gonna happen is basically like honest to God, like I just let myself get lazy and I gained fat, got weak, all that kind of thing. So I'm just gonna so going through my own transformation, like my own whatever. I don't have a date on it just because like I'm very against like 8 day, 8 week pushes, 12 week pushes, 6 month pushes, just because I just don't like the mentality that comes with that. So what I'm doing is I'm going to be documenting everything, and I'm calling it the Daily Donut, where I'm going to do my own fat, big fat loss phase, before and after pictures, all the nine yards. But I'm going to have a donut every single day to really drive home the fact that you can have anything in moderation, and donuts are my favorite food.
Oh my God. Okay. So, yeah, you and I need to do donuts together
Without a doubt.
sometime. That's what we need to do. Are you in
I'm about
Indianapolis?
30, 40 minutes from Indianapolis. Where are you
Got
at?
it. Okay. There, DC, right out in Virginia, right outside of
Nice.
Washington, DC.
Very nice.
Yeah. I was almost in Indianapolis. My husband went out there for a music
Dope.
festival recently. And I almost went with him. I love Indianapolis, by the way. I was out there with my son's band a few years ago.
That's awesome.
I love that city. I do.
Jordan and I met
Yeah.
here
So
about
we
last year. It's the first time I've actually, so like a lot of people know, when I say Jordan, for those of listening, I'm meaning Jordan Syatt. Like him and I are both very close,
Yeah.
both of us. And Jordan hit me up and he's like, bro, how far are you from Indy? He texts me and I'm like 30, 40 minutes. And he's like, want to get pizza tonight?
Awesome.
And we ended up meeting in Indy for pizza. He was here with Gary for something for like 12 hours. So he's a short little bastard. Holy shit.
He's
And by the way, I'm not anything tall myself. I'm a whopping 200 pounds of 5'6". Like,
Okay, so I'm a 5'6" person. Yeah. I probably at one point was
well,
5'7".
my 5'6" is kind of different though. I swear I have the torso of a 6-foot-tall male, but my legs are kind of penguin-like.
Oh wow.
Like
Okay.
my buddies say I waddle. I call it a swagger, but like my inseam's like I'm like 5'6", 5'7", about 200 pounds, but my inseam is 25 inches. Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, very.
That's unique. Yeah, you're
Yeah,
all
I'm ultra. My
torso.
hips are super low. So like I guess I got into like as a hobby, like I got back into like Brazilian jiu-jitsu and grappling. So I guess it's good for that versus like basketball. But like but I don't know. I'm it's kind of like a tree stump, but different.
I love it. Well, yeah, we need to make the donut thing
Absolutely.
happen for sure. Yeah, and you know who we need to include in that are our San Jose
Yes. Oh
friends.
my gosh. I love those two fuckers.
I do too. They are the
Rambeer
best. Yep, they are the best. Absolutely.
and
Well,
LJ. I
this
know
has
it.
been
I know
so
it.
much fun, Jared. Oh my God, I am so glad we had the chance to meet
Absolutely.
up here. I appreciate you
Thank you for
coming
having
on
me.
here and
I
oh,
want to get you on my
absolutely. And we
podcast
will
too.
do it again for
Well,
anytime.
I
You just
will.
give me a holler.
Also,
All
awesome.
right. Thank you so much. You have a fantastic day, and I know we
Absolutely.
will
Talk to you
talk
later,
soon.
Susan. See ya.
Okay, take care.